The following program contains views and opinions that do not necessarily reflect those of KMRE staff or of the Spark Museum of Electrical Invention.
Today we are talking with Tim Ballew, who is a recently declared candidate for state senator in the 42nd District. Tim, why don't you go ahead and just introduce yourself and tell us who you are?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for offering some time. Very happy to be here. And a little bit about who I am. I'm a lifelong resident of this area. Spent the majority of my life residing on the Lummi Indian Reservation, so a rural part of our district and county. I went to school at Western, lived some time out here off of Old Lakeway Drive, and a father of two sons, Leanne and I. My wife Leanne and I have raised our sons here, and thinking back on the things that are important to me, and the things that have been most meaningful, usually it involves something that being on the water or by a fire and harvesting resources and bringing them back and sharing them with family members. I mean, when it comes down to it, those are the things that really stick with me, and it usually involved family, either my parents or aunts and uncles, my grandparents, and along through that process, family values and expectations of who we are as individuals are kind of passed on, and those expectations are set. And it's something I look forward to doing with my children. And when thinking about that, we need to have the resources and the ability to have the things here in our community to facilitate that process and that way of life. And I think that's true for fishing, for farmers, for a lot of the folks who call this place home. And that is a big part of the driving force for my participation in elected leadership. So if regardless if it's on the tribal council, which I spent a few years serving the people, in my current role on the county council, and that same commitment, I'm happy to bring that to Olympia, and I put my name in the hat for the state senate race of the 42nd district. I'm very excited to represent the people of this area.
I hear that, and I was going to bring up that this is not your first foray into the world of politics, and that you are a strong member of the Lummi Nation. It's in terms of family, that is part of your family and extended family, but you identify yourself in person and on your website as a fisherman and a longtime fisherman. What was that transition from being a fisherman to getting involved in politics in the Lummi Nation?
I spent a lot less time doing the stuff that I love. I mean, that's the sacrifice that comes along with public service. The burden that public service takes, really, I think that the family carries the bulk of that burden. And so I'm really grateful to my wife, Leanne, my parents, and everyone who that the support network that it took to be able to serve as long as I did on the tribal council. And yeah, what it meant was spending less time doing the things I love, fighting for the things that I love. And that's, for me, hunting and fishing is a big part of that. And yeah, there's just less time to do that stuff while serving.
Was there a specific issue or call to arms, so to speak, that brought you into wanting to serve on the Lummi Indian Business Council?
I think a lot of the things that I really wanted to focus on, looking back, I did not get to really work on. And it really taught me that in public leadership, sometimes we have to set aside the pet projects or issues that we want to work on or we think we're going to work on. So all of my focus didn't get to go to really any of the stuff that I thought was going to get addressed during my tenure. And I had to focus on things that were either already in the works or being focused on, or some emergent issues that came up along the way. Two examples of those are the issue of Cherry Point and the protection of the ancestral lands and the natural resources of that area.
And specifically in relation to coal transport?
The Gateway Pacific Terminal right. project that was proposed, which included what would have been the nation's largest coal export plant.
I'm guessing you were against it.
Yeah, the community was. Really, it wasn't me or a single council member, or not even just the council. That's an issue where the community within the tribe, the community, surrounding community here in the area in Whatcom County, there was certain levels of agreement that project wasn't the best fit for the people. And it's something that wasn't specific just to Lummi. But I did get the opportunity to work with a great team to address the issue. And in terms of that project, protect the treaty rights of the tribe. And in doing so, the goals or focus for many different groups were achieved by rallying around protecting the treaty rights of the tribe, the right to access fishing grounds, and it prevented what would have been the nation's largest coal export plant on the West Coast.
It seemed like the Lummi Nation may have had some influence in that decision with tribal rights and with the sacred land. Maybe made the difference, do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, the tribe's assertion of its treaty right and really putting it, there was risk involved in that. I mean, there's I personally got to work with the team that was involved with the issue before I assumed office, and while serving as chair, took the appropriate amount of time to listen to all sides of the issue, develop the strategy that would work best to achieve our goals, and got to carry out the project to success, the campaign to support and protect our treaty rights. And as a result, from the tribe's request to deny the federal permit, the land, the surrounding resources, and the access to the fishing grounds were protected. And there's a lot of learning lessons that came along the way.
You're listening to Cascadia Weekly, and I am speaking with current County Councilman Tim Ballew of Whatcom County, who has thrown his hat in the ring for the 42nd State Senate position currently held by Doug Erickson. Tim, you started off by saying that a lot of this happened while you were the chair of the Lummi Indian Business Council, which is in effect kind of the chair of the Lummi Nation for all intents and purposes, but you said you had gotten in with an idea of things you wanted to address but didn't have a chance to. What were some of the things that you had wanted to address when you first got in?
Well, I think that the I really wanted to work on developing to work towards finding common grounds with other local tribes and see if there was a different way of focusing that the tribal leadership intertribally to work on issues that could help improve the ability for our fishermen to provide for our families, because we have a lot of shared jurisdiction in water, and it's becoming increasingly difficult for a harvester, and I think that this isn't anything that's different from fishermen to a farmer or anyone else who depends on the habitat to provide. It's becoming extremely hard to make a living at it. And rather than giving up on that way of life, because it is an industry, but it's also a way of life. It's something that's very meaningful to the people that participate in it. And that's the same for farmers as it is fishermen. And I really wanted to find, is there a way to help our fishermen provide more, to be able to contribute more to the community and put food on the table for their families. At the same time, I completely understand that we have a portion of that workforce being displaced, essentially forced to re-educate and retrain themselves to another part of the workforce. And economic development is something that I thought I'd be able to contribute a little bit more time and effort to. I did get to work on a community project with the county and the cities of Bellingham and Ferndale in bringing road infrastructure funds to the district. And that's the Exit 260 interchange was budgeted from the state legislature I was able to take part in seeing that to come to success. But really it was focusing on things that were already in play or responding to things that came kind of as emergencies. The Cook Aquaculture Atlantic Salmon Spill is an example of that. No other council member, myself included, or even anyone in the local governments or state governments, expected to work or respond to that issue. And
for those that don't remember, that was when the Cook Atlantic salmon net broke and released hundreds of thousands of Atlantic salmon into the waters, which then affected Pacific salmon, affected the lives and the life cycles of Pacific salmon, got all the way up into Victoria, and affected the livelihood of fishermen and the Lummi Nation.
Yeah, throughout the Sound from the Nisqually area and river basins all the way up through the coast and to into Victoria and the island, there was a large disbursement of what the state considers a pollutant. And I really give credit to the Lummi Natural Resource Department, who went out and surveyed the scene early on, came back to the leadership, and really let us know that we needed to respond and do something. And that respond, do something eventually turned into marshaling a huge, large-scale recovery effort. And 85% of all of the fish that were recovered actually came from the Lummi fishing fleet. So a lot of effort in a short amount of time was focused to cleaning what the state considered an ecological spill. As a result, I think that did prompt the state legislature to take a hard look at its processes for permitting facilities like this. And the state legislature took the stance of phasing out these sort of operations that really didn't contribute a large number of jobs or contribution to the economy and didn't complement the harvesting background of this region and this state. I mean, the salmon is an iconic figure for Washington, and putting more support into good fish habitat and Pacific salmon, I think, are the right things to do. So I commend the legislature for the actions they've taken.
I was going to ask you. You're listening to Tim Ballew, former chairman of the Lemhi Nation and current Whatcom County councilman who's running for the 42nd state senate seat. Were you happy with the this legislative session and Olympia's decision to no longer allow Atlantic salmon breeding? Did you think that that went far enough? And what else would you like to see done, if anything?
I think they took the right steps to respond to the issue. I think that the emergency really forced us to take a look at what we're doing in terms of how well we're doing on meeting our fish goals. I've had a real short stay so far here as a county council member, and I'm glad that through discussions with the other members, when going through the docketing of what improvements we can make to the county codes, and we put on the docket a review of the comp plan to set a fish goal for Whatcom County. And it's something that I know that the fish harvesters and managers, or the fish managers and biologists at the tribe and state have set goals for what we want as a community for fish harvesting goals, and done sustainably, of course. And I'm looking forward to working with the county council to set count the Whatcom County's fish harvest goal, and that would better help us plan for how much habitat we need for fish, what kind of habitat projects we should be pursuing. And I think that those same, there's that definite improvement that we could do at the state level when it comes to fishing. You know, the 4-H's are really the guidelines that we want to go by, of, you know, having a good fish habitat, having good water, so the hydro, making sure that the water is taken care of. Having sustainable harvest met, so making sure that we manage the resource properly. And until the habitat is rebalanced and restored, we need a good hatchery program. We need good hatchery programs to have a meaningful harvest in a fishery.
I wanted to guess what those 4-H's were, and I would have failed. I would have gotten 3 of them, I think. Anyway, no, that's hugely important. Let's talk for a moment about the fact that you applied to be interim Whatcom County Councilman when Todd Donovan moved over with the reshuffling of all of the numbered districts for the county council. That interim position lasts for how long?
It lasts... so I asked that question too, and they said it really depends on when the election results are certified. So more or less about Thanksgiving time of this year.
Okay. So I'm assuming you're not going to run for that position again.
I am not.
But I got to throw this out there, because one of the criticisms of your opponent, Doug Erickson, or your Republican opponent, Doug Erickson, is that he went to work for the EPA, for the current federal administration, while he was representing us. Do you feel that this race will hamper your ability to be a Whatcom County Councilman at the same time?
Well, regardless of it was me or whoever was appointed to the county council, there's a likelihood that, and I want to make clear, I'm not intending to run for the county council, and I said that publicly during the appointment process, and that's still true. The members on the county council, you know, if they want to serve a second term, would have to take the time to campaign and run for re-election, and I really see that this is no different than a county council member seeking re-election for their seat.
And also, I have to bring up, as you know, you are not the first person to declare for this race. And some people are questioning if another candidate has already challenged Doug Erickson. Why did you jump in at that moment? And what do you think that you are bringing that other candidates may not be bringing?
The commitment that I'm pledging is, you know, that listening to the people and the issues that they think are important and want to be addressed, and taking a careful consideration to make decisions that will benefit the entire community. And that's my commitment to the people. That's always been my approach, regardless if I've served on the Lummi Tribal Council or here at the County Council. So that's not going to change regardless. That the people of the 42nd are going to be the ones who determine who wins and who's elected. And I had a listening session with a cross-section of the people of the 42nd after I was approached by some folks here in the county in the 42nd district to ask me to run. And I held a listening session, talked with folks from labor and different sections of the community, and just asked their thoughts about what do you think about my candidacy for this race. And we talked about the challenges, we talked about the strengths that I could bring to the candidacy and the seat, and in the end it was the people's request and coming forward and recruiting me and asking me to contribute in this way. I mean, I wouldn't do it if I didn't think that the people would stand behind in support of this. And I'm running because I think that there's a real need for change in leadership to represent our district better. And I'm just happy to be a part of this, and I think that we can bring that change.
I hear you that you were asked, you didn't initiate this candidacy, that you were asked, but you have to also want the position yourself, or it doesn't make sense to run.
Yeah, so definitely did. And it did come from the Whatcom County appointment process that you mentioned earlier, and my statement that I did not intend to seek re-election for the county council. And after that, I had people approach me and ask my consideration to run for the race in the 42nd state senate seat. It's not what I was intending or planning for at the time, and I took some careful consideration, discussed it with my family, discussed it with some people, some of my friends, and as mentioned, people that I don't really know that well who live in the 42nd. And after having that listening session, I felt it would be a good way to contribute to the community. And yes, it's before I held the listening session, I did go through that. Is this something I would want to do? And the answer to that was yes, but only if there was the support there from the community. And after the listening session, we established that's definitely there, and we're looking forward to a great campaign.
You're listening to County Councilman Tim Ballew, who is running for the 42nd State Senate position, currently held by Doug Erickson on KMRE 102.3 FM, KMRE.org, and KAVZ in Van Zandt. And this is Cascadia News Now. So one more question about this. I totally understand what you're saying. Are you running as a Democrat, by the way?
Okay. Yes, I am.
So I understand everyone's going to be challenging the big guy. Everybody has a reason to have issues with Senator Erickson. And what you're saying is people will have to decide, and people have to hear you and Pinky Vargas and decide the issues. However, there will be a primary first. And even if you and Pinky both say, well, we're running against Erickson and our issues are against Erickson, you are going to have to differentiate yourself. And so I want to give you the opportunity to say, how would you differentiate yourself? Why are you the candidate people want to follow?
So a couple things. The I think the biggest challenge or obstacle that I'm going to have to get over isn't the fact that there is another Democrat in the race. Going back to the county council appointment process, it was quite clear that one of the questions that I'm going to have to address is, can I represent everybody? Because there was the questioning of, potential conflict of interest just for the fact that I'm a Lummi tribal member. I believe I have the track record and history of making sure that we take all points of view into consideration to make good public policy. And I think it's needed because we need to come together as a community on contentious issues. And we can't just, we need to be able to, as a father, I really want to make sure that we have a good education system, and that also that the climate within the education system is very conducive to community building. And I remember growing up in the school system post Bolt decision, so the decision that adjudicated tribal fishing rights, and that was a contentious issue, and there was a lot of conflict within the community because there was disagreement on that decision by the judge to have the rights to fish split 50-50, 50% for the state, 50 for the tribe. Well, all the tribes. And on both sides of the issue, there was heartache and it led to conflict. I remember it was real subtle in the school system. There's this subtle tones of people who were upset with tribal fishing in general, and that transferred over to tribal students. I have a ability to and a track record of working with folks to find solutions and common ground on these sorts of issues. There was the Portage Bay Partnership, which was an attempt from the tribe and agriculture to find solutions for water quality issues in the Nooksack River Basin, and specifically in Portage Bay, really close and essentially part of Bellingham Bay. And an easy solution that the tribe could have taken could have been a protracted litigation. It would have been, there could have been a lot of hurt feelings over an approach like that. It would have been easier, may have been quicker, and when that was brought to me as a tribal leader, I really thought, how is this going to impact our students in the school system? Because what it really comes down to is these are our neighbors that our kids go to school together. They play sports together. They interact on a day-to-day basis, and they're going to be the ones who really take the burden on a contentious issue like that. And asked myself and the team members, is there a different way to come to the same conclusion and is there a more personal way to approach this? And as a result, we came out with what is the Portage Bay Partnership, an agreement between local dairy community and the tribe to work on water quality issues and water quality improvement that in the end, the entire community is going to benefit from, because there will be cleaner water in the watershed in the Nooksack River Basin. It's something that it was a fresh new approach to an environmental issue that I really believe we're going to find successes in, and I think that we can replicate that same approach with different issues.
And that's one of the qualities you think that you bring as a candidate. I think you touched on a critical issue. You related to water issues before, and I want to talk about Hearst. And I mean, that's like maybe the core of you being a Lummi Nation former chair, also representing the county. And you address that you believe that you can represent everybody. I think there might be a perception, especially from developers or people who have bought homes thinking they could build a well and now they can't, that maybe you are going to be single issue. So talk to me about with water rights and water issues specifically, and her specifically, how will you go forward as a state senator and represent all interests?
Specifically to Hearst, if there is any concern or fear about my ability to, one, abide by the law, and two, take all of the community into consideration, the vote on permitting exempt wells after the legislation that came from Olympia this session, this year, I voted for the permitting of the exempt wells, and I might have got some of my folks, my friends who are more progressive minded, a little upset about that. And if it was completely about representing the tribe, the tribe probably would have been happier if I voted against it. But in my opinion, the county council must abide by state law. The state came out with the legislation to permit these wells and to decide how to mitigate the effects sometime in the future. I just disagree with that. I disagree with that portion of the legislation, that I really think that the state legislature, did good by the folks who want to access the state water with the well and build on their property. But at the same time, I think that the state legislature kind of kicked the can down the road on the bigger issue, and that's providing water certainty for the entire community. And I think that this was an opportunity where the legislature could have, and still can, when drafting legislation, draft legislation that allows the opportunity for community members to come together, and I'm talking the local governments, in our case, the ag industry, and the tribes and cities, to have those tough discussions about water quantity, water quality, keeping good fish habitat in the river basin, and having accountability across those measures to make sure that we can start planning to make sure that there's enough water for all of the people who are using it right now. And I don't think that the most recent Hearst legislation did enough.
Community to Community Development is your local grassroots organization led by women, people of color, and farm workers.
Comunidad a Comunidad es su organización local de base que es liderada por mujeres, personas de color, y campesinos.
If you care about the food that you eat and having a fair and sustainable food system, you should partner with us.
Si le importa la comida que comemos y quiere mejorar el sistema alimentario, debería juntarse con nosotros.
You can call us at 360-738-0893, or you can find us on the Facebook.
Puede comunicarse con nosotros por teléfono 360-738-0893 o encontrarnos en nuestra página de Facebook.
We're talking with Tim Ballou, who is the current Whatcom County Councilman, former chair of the Lummi Indian Business Council, and is running for the 42nd State Senate seat for the 42nd LD. Cascadia News Now. Tim, we've spent a lot of time talking about issues that are dear to your heart that impact the Lummi Nation specifically, so let's talk about some issues that don't. Doug Erickson approved a pretty drastic property tax cut. There's been a lot of issues around Washington State paying for programs that we need to, and property tax, and complaints about property tax. How do you feel about Erickson's decision, and what would your suggestions be?
I think, first off, I know that there's... that property tax issue, it does, I think that the need and access to good quality programs, state programs, is needed. I think that generally, you know, a government, if we could, and regardless of which government it is, if we could start proving to constituents that we can provide good quality services, there would be less contention when the issue of taxation comes up, because we want and we expect good services to come from the government. Less bureaucracy and more solution oriented action. I think that some of the things that we could start improving on are good service and access to health care, chemical dependency services, mental health services, and an issue that's impacting all of us, regardless of where we live, not just this county and this district, is the opiate epidemic. I think that if we start setting the goal for ourselves, we want to reduce the death by overdose, that would be a good measure to start tracking and reducing that rate. It's tearing families apart. I mean, and it's not something that's isolated to this county. It's across the nation, and I think that that's something that we could all agree on, is that we need to reduce the negative impacts to opiate abuse.
That brings up another issue, that Washington State has legalized marijuana. Meanwhile, the federal government may be cracking down, which can cause a state-federal issue. I'd like to know where you stand, and should the state legislature take a position on that?
So where I stand on the legalization of marijuana?
Well, and or Washington State's responsibility to protect that legalization, or how we might work with the federal government, or should we?
The state's taken the stance and was one of the early on, one of the first states to take the stance to legalize marijuana. I think that it'd be extremely difficult for the legislature to scale back and step away from that. And at the same time, there's tax revenues that the state has established, and that I'm pretty sure that would be a consideration of those services that are benefiting from those revenues. How are we going to pay for that? I haven't talked to any of my friends who are in the legislature about what they're thinking, where they are with that, but all the impressions I've gotten were that the state was not going to kind of shift and pivot away from that.
Let's talk about let's talk about some things that did not make it through the legislative session this year. The carbon tax, where do you stand on it? Why it's been a contentious issue for a lot of different groups in the past. How do you feel about a carbon tax?
To be honest, I don't know as much as I could on that issue. And one of the things that always comes into my mind when that comes up, and I think it's going to come up in the next session also, is how the impact that it's going to have to harvesters, so the agriculture and fish and the fishing economy. If there's going to be an increase in the cost of operating those industries, is there going to be an ability for rebates for some of the folks who may be participating in a way that reduces their carbon footprint? If I could be supportive if the solution includes something that doesn't negatively impact our harvesting communities in the state. And also, I'd be interested to know what amount of resources or help would this proposed legislation or solution provide to increased habitat projects, something that would balance out the much needed improvement to habitat.
Another bill that did not make it through was the death penalty. Where do you stand on that?
I'm opposed to the death penalty, and I'm unsure if this is going to come up in the next legislative session, but it's something I would watch for.
And one of the biggest and most difficult issues that it continues to grow, unfortunately, in our state and nationally is the issue with gun control and gun safety and school safety. We passed a very minor law in terms of, I think it was gun stocks. What is your perspective on gun safety and school safety, and what would you like to see happen in the next session?
You know, as mentioned, early on in the interview, I'm avid hunter and fisherman, and I own guns for hunting, and it's the ability to provide and provide first foods is really important for me, and I never really had a strong position on automatic or semi-automatic assault style weapons until two close families of ours had family members that were victims of the Marysville Pilchuck incident and the Las Vegas shooting. And that really hit home. I mean, getting the phone call from a close friend that their family member was a victim, it really changed my perspective on assault style weapons. And I don't see the need for it. I mean, if we are sending our kids to school, or if we're going somewhere to enjoy time with family and friends, and there's risk of something like this happening, it's not right. And it changed my perspective, and I don't see the need for this amount of access to assault style rifles.
Tim, I'm so sorry that you and your family were touched by those tragedies. As a hunter, I appreciate that you have a different perspective than a lot of people do. So I want to ask you specifically, do you think that stricter gun purchasing laws are something that is okay and workable for hunters?
I think, and I think that I've had discussions with people who identify both as a Republican and Democrat, and I think that there's no disagreement on that. Stricter laws on background checks and all the requirements to access firearms. I think that there's a common ground there on both sides of the aisle, and I think it's time that we have those discussions.
How about a gun registry?
I'd have to look more into that issue to comment.
No original instinct, though? Are you leaning? I mean, because that's problematic. I mean, on one hand, it seems important. On the other hand, it seems problematic, right?
Yeah, I need to look more into the proposal and issue. But I definitely think that there's something needs to be done to prevent the access to assault style rifles, and what's happening across the country. It's not right.
Another issue that specifically touches, I mean, everywhere, but our county and the city of Bellingham, the other cities in our county, I want to be clear now that I am asking you and interviewing you as candidate Tim Ballew and not county councilman Tim Ballew. This is your candidate hat. As a state senator, what do you think the legislature could do to address Washington State's homelessness issues?
What the state could do is so going back on, I think if we look at a lot of the social issues that are in front of us, regardless of it's homelessness or drug abuse or families who've lost their children and their children are in the system, a lot of the root is either behavioral health, mental health issues, or or substance abuse. And that's not the only problem. That's definitely not the only problem in terms of homelessness. There's just some sometimes unfortunate set of circumstances that cause people to become displaced, which is very unfortunate. I think that putting more time and energy into mental health and substance abuse services could benefit not just this issue, but a lot of other things. And something that our area definitely needs is access to affordable housing. There's a lot of members in the community who are, you know, struggling to put a to keep either put a roof over their head or keep a roof over their head. And anything we can do to increase affordable housing in the state. And
is that a state issue or is that a county issue?
I think definitely that I can't speak for the rest of the districts in the state, but I just know that I have a lot of friends and people who are telling me that access to affordable housing is a sticking point for staying here in the region, because that's what they want to do. They want to stay here, work here, live here, and making sure there's affordable housing for our people is a priority.
I think you touched on an important point when you mentioned mental health issues. As I'm sure you know, our state funding has been in recent years stripped and stripped and stripped, and we have lost funding, we have lost programs, mental health issues, and that's cascaded throughout the state in terms of problems that don't have a solution. So what bills or what legislation would you like to take a lead on in terms of home in terms of mental health issues?
The I really think that so by past experience, the you know, as chairman for the tribe, the community definitely said loud and clear that the negative effects of the opioid epidemic and abuse of opiates was a problem and needed to be addressed and needed to be fixed. And what I found when advocating for increased access to these services is that essentially everything that the federal government offered to help with, the tribe was already providing. I mean, there was robust mental health and chemical dependency outpatient services. The tribe partners with the state for inpatient services. And on top of that, there was a program that was instituted to for our police department to administer naloxone, or the
I don't know what that is. A naloxone.
Naloxone. It was I forget the generic term. It's a nasal spray that you administer to somebody suffering from opiate overdose, and it saves them from dying by overdose. With just enough time for you to for paramedics to respond and bring the person to ER to be observed, and hopefully in those situations that the person can get access to mental health or chemical dependency counseling. And what I came across, that providers who are part of this robust system, the number one thing in front of us now that's needed is access to medical treatment or medical detox, that step that's required before a person goes into a long-term treatment program. And I believe there's about 13 beds or so here in the county, and I think that there's plans to increase that more. But I think that definitely more beds are needed for that, and it's something that, regardless of if you have a access to this robust healthcare system or not, the medical detox is a service that's desperately needed in our community, and I think across the nation. Being able to make sure that we are able to reach people when they're asking for help or when they need the help, and they're ready to access the services that are available.
KMRE is your community voice. For over a decade, we brought you volunteer-powered, locally produced radio programming. As one of the few nonprofit radio stations in Bellingham, we bring quality broadcasting, diverse voices, and compelling ideas to the airwaves, programming you'll not hear anywhere else. We need your help. KMRE needs a new home. Help us save our broadcast license and become fully independent. If local media is important to you, now is the time to keep KMRE alive. Please visit savekmre.org to donate now. Again, please go to savekmre.org and keep community radio strong. Thank you.
Tim Ballou is running for the 42nd State Senate seat that is currently held by Doug Erickson. You're listening to Cascadia Now. Tim, one of the biggest issues that happened in this legislative session was a kerfuffle, I guess I'll call it, over transparency. If you were state senator or in any of the positions you held, how do you feel about transparency and sharing some of the communications between you and constituents?
Yeah, so I'd have to take a look at whatever. I'll give you, I'd have to go on my past experiences and kind of the expectations that I have of public servants and the members of the government that serve us as people. I've served on the Ferndale School Board for a short term. What's going to be a short year here in the Whatcom County Council, and 6 years for the tribe, and it's interesting seeing the differences in practices and the protocols of each government or each structure, and the 6 years and 5 years that I was chair for Lummi, I don't remember ever. Practicing a time limit with, public comment from a voter or community member. I'm not saying that, it's wrong that other areas if we, do a three-minute time limit, but I couldn't see myself, I never brought myself to stopping someone from, mid-sentence from sharing what was on their mind because, I value what they have to say and think. And what their expectations are of the government. As a county council member, all of my communications are public, and I don't know. I don't see how that's different for any other member of the part of the government.
Tim, we just have a couple of minutes left, and I have pelted you with many different issues, but I want to give you a chance to speak from your heart about the issues and the things that you're most passionate about in running for this position and being a state senator.
Yeah, and so I think we started with everything from fishing to opiate abuse, affordable housing, and transparency in government. I think those are all important issues. Important things for the people. Say anything more, if anything, what I've learned in public service is you have to focus what's on in front of you here and now. Always keep in mind what's going to be best for the community in the end, and to ultimately, decide to do something. Doing nothing is not always I don't think that's ever the right solution. Making a decision for the community on the issue that's in front of you, ready to be acted on. If anything, that's what I learned is required for the job of public service. I'm really too hesitant to say what I am expecting to work on in the legislature, because in my past history, again, I never really got to work on the right issues that I thought I was going to focus on. But I can say is we live in a great place, and we have a community who also I know thinks and feels the same. They love the surrounding habitat and environment, and they want to work and live here and raise a family here. And we have a large harvesting community in the 42nd district. Everything from the agriculture to fishing, And I think we need improvement in habitat across the board to make sure that our families can pass on their way of life. I think that we need access to broadband internet in our parts of the rural community. I think that not just the rural community, but I think even here parts in Bellingham also need access to broadband internet. And just to be able to make sure that so much of what we're doing in the education system, healthcare system, and everything is dependent on a person's ability to access Wi-Fi or the internet. I imagine that this interview is probably going to be posted.
It's true. And as a nonprofit community station, we have our own struggles with internet. So I'm behind you on that one. Really briefly, we're about to wind up. If there was one thing that you really wish that people really knew about you, Tim, what would that be?
That I absolutely love the community that we live in. And you know, I've always lived here, always planned to live here. And I really want to play my part to make sure that we have the best community possible.
Tim Ballou, former chair of the Lummi Indian Business Council, current interim Whatcom County Councilman and candidate for the 42nd State Senate position. Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Stephanie.